welcome to another episode of Little Cabin Knits. I'm your host, Emily, and Little Cabin Knits is a bi-weekly podcast all about knitting, mental health advocacy, and life happenings here in the wilds of Alaska, with just a little bit of hygge sprinkled throughout. As I said, I'm your host, Emily. I'm a knitter, crafter, mental health therapist, and explorer of my home state of Alaska. This week's episode contains administration, spotlight, raise a cuppa, on the couch, a personal skill set first, and so exciting, I have a talk with my family on gift knitting, then we have a time for hygge, and contemplation corner. I am so excited to talk with you guys, so grab a cuppa of your choice and let's settle in for a good little chat about knitting. Administration. Well, like I just said, welcome, my friends. I'm so excited to be back with you. It's been a little over 3 weeks since I last recorded, and I have been missing you guys so much. Life has been very busy and a little bit challenging, but we'll get into that and raise a cuppa. For now, let's just talk a little bit about what's on the docket. So, just a reminder, you can find me as Anders Mill Knits on Ravelry and Instagram. I have a YouTube channel, Between Knits and Purls, and you can find all of our show notes at andersmillknits.wixsite.com/website. So if you have any questions, a comment, or if you'd like to be a guest on Little Cabin Knits, you can email me at littlecabinknitsak@gmail.com. I recently received a private message on Ravelry from a listener that just warmed my heart. I didn't ask for permission to share the message, so I won't share it, but just know that it just meant the world to me to know, because audio podcasting is kind of a lonely business. You don't really get to have a conversation with each other. And so hearing back from somebody about what this podcast has meant to them has been just, I mean, it's hard for me to explain how lovely it was to receive that message. And I will admit, I've gone back and read it a few times. You can also share your thoughts about the website. I mean, not the website, about the podcast on iTunes. No, what do they call it? Podcatcher? No, the iTunes podcatcher website, whatever it's called. I forget now. And I don't know if you can leave a review on the other streaming sites, but just a reminder that you can find Little Cabin Knits on all the major podcatcher networks that are out there. So feel free to leave a review wherever you are able. Lastly, I have an exciting announcement. So Between Knits and Purls, my YouTube channel, we're going to be going live on July 24th at 9 a.m. Alaska time. And you can join us from wherever you are in the world. It's my birthday and I wanted to spend it with you. So please bring whatever project you're working on and come knit live with me and my co-host Stephanie. If you want to actually be on the screen, you can actually be on the show. You can email me at betweenknitsandpearls@gmail.com and I will send you the link to bring you on live. Otherwise, you'll be using the chat feature in YouTube to chat with us and share with us what you're knitting, how your day's going, what thoughts you might be having. I can't wait to knit with you guys. This is going to be so fun. Spotlight. This week, I want to spotlight a newer podcast and one that I've come to love. So Gravel Knits is an audio podcast hosted by Kelsey, who is Bikes and Brew Use on IG, and Caitlin, who is Gravel Knits on Instagram or IG, whichever you prefer to call it. These ladies are so welcoming and fun. I have really enjoyed getting to know them on a personal level as we've connected through Instagram and have been chatting back and forth. And they are so supportive of all knitters out there. And to tell you the truth, I really look forward to my precious time listening to their podcast when I'm out on my walks. And there's a few episodes that I've listened to twice. I think one of the episodes I listened to three times. I'm not sure, but I like them so much. So a little bit about the hosts of Gravelness. A little bit about your hosts of Gravel Knits. Kelsey rides bikes, mainly on gravel roads, and hence the name of the podcast. And Caitlin, the other co-host, focuses on CrossFit and running races. And I love hearing how Kelsey brings her knitting on each bike ride that she goes on and how she finds little moments here and there to bring out and just maybe knit a stitch or a whole round or row, but she always has it with her, and it's just so amazing. Now, currently they have 15 episodes out, and each episode is different. Sometimes they interview people, sometimes they talk about current projects, sometimes they post small episodes in which they talk about a certain technique or past projects, and every episode they drink a new beer flavor. I think I'm saying that right. I'm not a drinker, and so even though I don't drink, I'm always fascinated by the flavor combinations that they share. And one last thing that I want to know is that they are so inclusive. At the beginning of every episode, they have, I wouldn't call it a disclaimer, I would call it more of a welcoming message to anyone of any walk of life, and that they are open and welcoming and accepting of everyone. And I'm not saying it as well as they are, but I just, every time I hear them do that, it just warms my spirit up. It's wonderful. So one of the flavor combinations that they once talked about in one of their episodes, and I couldn't figure out which episode it was, but it haunts me to this day, and it is the pumpkin pie beer. And at first when they talked about it, I literally in my mind I went, gross. But then the more I thought about it, the more I realized how well the sharp flavors of the hops would pair so nicely with the soothing pumpkin spices. And because of this, it's given me inspiration to try new non-alcoholic drinks in my neighborhood, which led me to a local kombucha brewery. They also brew beer and, well, I don't know what else because I never pay attention, but and they also have really good eats there too. And right now, as I'm recording, I'm currently sipping on their blueberry kombucha. It is so delicious. So thank you, ladies, for helping me to expand my flavor profile. Raise a cuppa. Well, today, my friends, like I mentioned, I'm sipping on a locally brewed kombucha, blueberry flavored. The taste is at once strong and light, and I know my belly is grateful for the enzymes. I have not drank kombucha in, well, I guess maybe only 3 years. I've started drinking it again this summer. But I know how much my doctor has recommended it for me for my gut health and for, probiotics properties that they contain. And I'm just so grateful that I found a local kombucha brewery. Now, drinking this stuff is not cheap, so I only allow myself maybe one or at most two of these every week, but I do enjoy it. And it takes me most of the day to sip on it because the flavors are so strong, but you know, I love it. So on to life happenings. Like I mentioned before, it has been a hot second, right? I mean, it has been hot everywhere to the point that they were talking about how in the Pacific Northwest, the sun was so hot that it was literally burning the trees, or however they said, the leaves were like being scorched by the sun. And I felt so bad because I lived in the Pacific Northwest for about 5 years, and none of the homes were ever equipped with in-home air conditioning. We always had to buy, my ex-partner and I had to buy those window air conditioners, which only really air conditioned like a 10-foot radius around where the air conditioner was. So it's always miserable. And then when it got so hot, I literally can't imagine. I don't think I've ever been in heat that hot that they were mentioning, even when I lived in Las Vegas for a year and a half. On another note, I do want to just offer my condolences, my compassion, and my heartfelt love to those around the world who are suffering from other natural disasters, like the flooding over in Germany and Belgium, and then the disasters and the uprisings that are happening in South Africa, and the danger that it's putting people in, and the pain and anguish that we are currently resuffering from the uptick of the new COVID variant, the Delta variant. And I've been hearing a lot of people saying that even though they are vaccinated, they're going to start wearing their masks again in places. I just don't know that I can bring myself to start wearing a mask again. I don't know. It's this last year was hard wearing the masks. I am vaccinated and I feel pretty confident in that vaccination, but we shall see. As they've been talking about the rising of cases in all 50 states, it's been very difficult to hear about that. Anyway, on to my personal life stuff. So between the wedding prep stuff, we got out all the invitations. Jeremy and I, or Mr. Radio and I, actually booked our honeymoon. We were so excited about that. And so I can now tell my boss when I'm going to be gone. Technically, I'm going to be gone for 3 weeks from mid-September through the beginning of October. I'll be out, not at work. So that'll be interesting. I'm just really grateful that I've been relatively healthy and then been working from home, so that even when I'm not well, I can still work, so that I don't have to take any PTO. So we will still have our income coming in, because I'm always stressed about money. I'm always stressed. And especially since we're trying very hard to pay cash for everything for the wedding, it hasn't been contentious between Mr. Radio and I, but I've felt the stress quite deeply for myself. And I will admit, there's been some yarn out there that I've wanted to buy, and it's been very hard not to go and get it. But, I just figure when the time comes, hopefully it'll be there. But, then there's other things. There was a large family emergency that took me to Wasilla for a couple weekends in a row. And then there's work. I'm ramping up whole new programs in my job. So that takes a lot of brain power and mental energy that can be rather exhausting. And then, of course, I've got my two podcasts. So I'll admit that I've struggled during the month of July to find my knitting mojo. But I know it will come back. And I'm just going to say that I am impatient for the day that mojo will arrive. Well, speaking of my wedding, I just had to pause recording because my mailman just dropped by with three huge boxes of wedding supplies that I ordered. And I'm a little out of breath now, for our, what do they call them? Are they favors? I had this idea of what I wanted to do to make and create memorable wedding favors that can be used over and over again in people's lives. And so I ordered all of the supplies. They just arrived. Now I've just got to wrangle in my family members to help me finish making up 120 of these beautiful things. It will be very labor intensive, and I can't tell you what it is, just in case somebody is listening that may be coming to the wedding. But after the wedding, I will give you guys a full report. I cannot wait for that. It'll be so much fun. Well, in other life happenings, last week was Mr. Radio and I, we celebrated his 42nd birthday
We tried out a new barbecue shack that opened up down the street from us, and then I made him bring our food and his presents on a picnic. Yes, it was his birthday, and yes, he didn't want to go, but afterwards he said to me, "I love how you make me do things that I always think of how fun it was afterwards." I just love that man. So even when he doesn't want to do things, he does them because he loves me, and afterwards he's always grateful for the time that we did them. And he's just, and it's the same for me. You know, one of the things that he does for me is when I'm feeling blue, you know, I still work from home. I don't get out much. I don't see very many people. So it's almost as if COVID life has continued for me. And so one of the things that he does is he takes me on drives, just some, most of the time, just throughout our city. And it always perks me up. Even when I tell him I don't actually want to go, he still kind of prods me to go, and I always feel better afterwards. So it's a give and take for both of us. So on the day that we went for his birthday picnic, it was hot. And just to let you know, here in Alaska, though our temperatures might not rise to the same temperatures in the lower 48, when it's 60, well, I would say 70 degrees, that's almost unbearable for us here in Alaska because our blood runs thick because of the cold temperature. So when your blood runs thick and slow, it's hard for your body to process warmer temperatures. And then on top of that, we are, during the summer months, the way the earth is tilted, we are actually closer to the sun. So 70 degrees for us feels more like 90 degrees if we were to say in, I don't know, you know, Oregon or something. And so 70 degrees is very hot for us. So we were just sweating, and Watson, our beloved faithful poodle mix, he was panting up a storm and drinking up so much water. And as soon as we were done opening the presents, we raced home because we just were so hot. But we loved every minute of it. Well, then, now this Saturday, I turn 40. And after I spend some quality time with all of you guys knitting live on YouTube, Mr. Radio is taking me camping to Kenai Lake. This is a place that I've not camped at in over 15 years. And I literally, I'm breathless with anticipation. And Mr. Radio is so excited. He's already started packing, and it's only Wednesday. So, you know, we're very, 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 very excited. Now, Kenai Lake is a glacier-fed lake, and it is ice cold. So I want to try and be brave and go for an invigorating swim. I kind of said to Mr. Radio, it's kind of like a self-baptism at age 40. Like, it's like starting afresh. That's how I see it. And all I asked of Mr. Radio that he have the fire blazing at the campsite when I get back. Now, there has been a lot of bear sightings in this area this summer, so we always are prepared, but we're going to be even more prepared this time. We bring bear spray, and Mr. Radio always has a gun at his hip with bear bullets loaded. Not that we want to use them, but we also need to be safe, and this is one way that we can be safe. In addition to that, we'll be making sure that not to leave any food or drink out of the camper so that the bears won't smell the delicious food and come hunting. So I'm so excited to go camping. This summer, we've only made it out once before. And if you want, you can see the camping episode from June. And as we've just had so much to do with work and the wedding, so this may be our last camping trip this summer, and I plan on making the most of it. On the couch. I have nothing on the shelf for you, so no finished projects, but I do have lots on the go. So the first thing that I've started knitting on is my second sock for my wedding socks. Now the pattern is Tea and Scandal by This Handmade Life, and I'm knitting these on US size 1.5 needles, which is rather large needles for me to be using for sock knitting, but this is lace knitting as well. I do think that my first sock came out a little long, so I've taken that into consideration as well for the second sock, but I just can't wait to wear these. I'm getting ready to order my wedding shoes, and I just keep picturing how silly and cool my hand-knit socks are going to look in these high heels, which, by the way, I haven't worn high heels in so long. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to have to practice before I walk down the aisle that will be outside for our ceremony in the grass. So I'm ordering heels that are thicker so they won't sink into the grass. But I'm definitely going to have to practice walking. And I just can't wait, though, to see how my socks will look in my wedding shoes. It's going to be so much fun. Now, the yarn I'm using for this is Three Sisters Fiber in the colorway Faded Rose on her Moxie base. And I love this. You've heard me talk about her yarn before in episodes, I think, 14. I talked about her yarn and how we interviewed her for the Between Knits and Purls podcast. And she is so loving, so wonderful. She's a new dyer, but her color sense is so sophisticated and calming and soothing. I just was very, very impressed with her. The next on my needles is Bunting Fit for a Queen by Vero. I don't think I'm saying that right. It's V-E-R-O Pepperell. She's from England, and this pattern is free on Ravelry, and I am just using yarn scraps and leftovers, and you only need about 5 grams of yarn per flag. At present, I've counted 35 bunting flags that I've completed, and they are so fun. I plan on stringing them up at the wedding and then just stringing them up at home year-round, honestly. I mean, who wouldn't want hand-knit bunting in their home year-round, right? The next thing on my list is the Snowberry cowl or shawl. You can choose between the two. You get the pattern comes with both instructions. And this is by Shannon Cook. Now, I've knit a sweater by Shannon Cook, and it is one of my favorite sweaters. I've forgotten the name all of a sudden, but I might give you a side note in a little bit with the name of that pattern. But anyway, so the yarn I'm using is Alaska Jude's yarn. And in her Southwest Wool worsted weight, and it's a monster skein. That's my name for it. It's an 8-ounce skein. It's got well over 560 yards in it. And the yarn itself does not have a colorway name to it. It is soft greens and whites and blues, kind of like an aqua blue, I would say. And it is so soothing. And my friend, this was a gift from a good friend who said she was out shopping, came across this lady selling her yarn, saw this colorway, thought of me, and had to purchase it right away. So she brought it by yesterday, and we had a lovely chat and catch up. I've missed this woman so much. She didn't mean to, I don't think, but yesterday I'm going to choke up here. She really just soothed my soul. She gave me some advice on some things that I didn't even, like, they just popped out of me. And it was so wonderful to have someone to share some of the things that I've been struggling with internally. And for her to just think of me randomly like that. She didn't remember that it's my birthday on Saturday. So this is not a birthday gift. This is an I love you gift. And I just, so wonderful. She told me she saw this yarn and she said, it shines like your soul. So that's why she bought it for me. Now, I haven't cast on the Snowberry by Shannon Cook yet. And for that matter, I don't even know what needles it takes. Let me take a look. I am casting this on my birthday while we are camping. I am so excited by that. And so, well, that's the stitch abbreviations. The gauge is 18 stitches over 32 rows for 4 inches. And the needles are US size 7. Oh, that's going to go fast. I love that. So, I'm going to get my project all ready to go and have it with me so I can cast on my birthday and just take some moments to revel in the love that I have for my friends near and far that, you know, I can't be with at this time. And that includes you. The next thing on my needles is the Summer Festival Cardigan by Tiki Knits, T-I-K-K-I, on Ravelry. And the yarn I'm using for this was gifted to me by Knit Picks. I'm using their new High Desert Sport Weight yarn in the colorway Lupin, which is so romantic a color. It's like a beautiful, rich, flowery, pinky purple colorway. I'm just loving it. I'm currently on the body, and I'm working my way through the beautiful lace motif that no one can seem to figure out what we would call it. I mean, when you look at it once, it looks like it's a flower lace motif. When you look at it again, it kind of looks like it's very more geometrical. And so it just kind of almost defies description. So I recommend going over and looking at the Summer Festival pattern on Ravelry. I've had this pattern in my Ravelry library, pattern library, for many years, and I think our current quarter, our year-long make-along, knit-along, organize-along that we're hosting over on Between Knits and Purls, because this third quarter is, well, no, wait, sorry, the second quarter was all about organizing your patterns. And if it hadn't been for that, I wouldn't have been reacquainted with this pattern. And as soon as KnitPick sent me the yarn in the mail, I knew exactly what I was going to knit. Now, the last episode of Little Cabin Knits, called the Camping episode, I tell you all about my struggle of finding gauge and the size of the sweater and that, so I won't go into all that. But just know that I'm very comfortable with the knit as it is now, and I'm just grateful that I learned so much about gauge swatching and about my own body type over because of this pattern and this yarn combination. It's been great. So one last thing about this that I didn't mention earlier is that we are hosting a 1,000 subscriber giveaway on our YouTube channel of Between Knits and Purls. I'm so excited. And KnitPix is our what would you call it, gifter, our host, whatever, for this giveaway. They have been so generous with us. I love them so much. They're giving away 8 balls of High Desert yarn in your weight of choice, either worsted or sport, and the colorway of your choice, plus the needles you need for your project. And then another lucky winner is going to win 8 balls of KnitPix Wonder Fluff, again in the colorway of your choice, plus the needles for your projects. So the only way that we are going to give this away is when we reach 1,000 subscribers and on YouTube, and we are less than 100 people away from giving this giveaway out. I'm really wanting to give this out on July 24th. I'm just saying. So go on over, subscribe, send your friends over to subscribe. Of course, really only do it if they're gonna, you know, if they like the show and they're gonna watch it again, right? I don't want to do this just to get numbers. But there are certain things that I can't do on YouTube unless I have 1,000 subscribers. And so that's been my goal all along. Not to be famous or to have a whole bunch of people following me, but just to be able to offer more content and varied content and be able to use all the add-ons and stuff on YouTube that I can't use unless I have 1,000 subscribers. So I have one more project that I actually forgot to put in my show notes, so I'm going to go grab that and I'll be right back. Okay, so my last cast on this month is the Jelly Roll Blanket by Kay Jones of the Bakery Bears podcast on YouTube. And I think everybody knows who they are. They are so amazing. They've created, I think, is it the Bakery Bears University? They've got so much wonderful content, and they share so beautifully about their life in the UK, their family life. Both Katie and her husband knit, and so it's wonderful to see them knit. Anyway, I'm just going to go on and on about that podcast, apparently. So let's talk about this pattern. This pattern was gifted to me by my co-host, Steph. She is Farmstead Knits on Instagram. She's my co-host on the Between Knits and Purls podcast. And this is a scrappy blanket using leftovers and mini skeins. And it is such a soothing, simple, yet, well, I would say flying off the needles kind of blanket if I had my knitting mojo. But as it stands, I'm still on my first, I'm going to call it a row of knitting. I highly recommend going over and looking at this pattern. It's not very expensive, I don't think. And the row thing, or the strip, maybe I should call it a strip. So I'm on my first strip of the blanket. And I am using my Marry Everything and Happy in July swap packages to knit this up. I have two partners this round, and I'm loving opening my little mini skein packages each day of the month. And so what I've been doing is one of my swappies, they sent me a beautiful buffalo plaid checkered plastic bowl. Here's the sound of my nails against the plastic bowl. And I, each day as I open up the skeins, I just put them all into this bowl. And what I just decided to do, I think it was kind of unintentional, but I'm loving what I'm doing this, is that this first strip is all in colors of green, or that the colorways, the green is maybe, to my eye anyway, the most dominant color. And so each strip I'm going to focus on a different color palette. And so I'm thinking the next strip is going to be pink, because they've sent me so many beautiful pinks, and I just love pinks. And pink and green, to me, go well together. Although I will say they've sent me some really beautiful earth tones as well that I think would also really go well as the next strip next to the green. So I'm kind of torn about this. But anyway, I love this pattern, and I'm knitting this using US size 3s. I think the pattern calls for US size 2.75s, but I liked what I was getting with US 3s, and so that's what I went with. And I think that's about it about this project. Personal skill set. A chat with my family around hand-knit and hand-crafted items that have either been given or received. So, my friends, today I am gathered at our kitchen table in the house that, well, is the one that I have the most memories in, because you, Mom and Dad, have lived here for 30 years, almost. And with me today is my mother, Gloria Ann. Would you like to say hello?
Hello.
That's it. Okay. Thank you, Mother. It's good to have you here.
I took it literally.
And then I've got three of my nieces. I have many nieces, and there are more nieces from this sister than are actually present with us today, but we have three of them here. The first and the oldest is Eden, who I would say is our resident painter. Would that be accurate?
I mean, probably. I'm the one who does the most painting.
Yeah. And you were quite adept at it. We're going to get into some of your paintings in a minute. So I'm glad you're here, Miss. And then we have Miriam, the second oldest, who it's kind of debated how we where to pigeonhole her. What did you say you were?
I don't get shoved in a pigeonhole, people.
Too good for that.
But yes, I would call myself a textile artist.
Yes, but why would you call yourself that?
Because I am good with literally anything that has to do with fiber. So knitting, crocheting, sewing, embroidery.
Needlework.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just textiles in general. I also dabble in painting, but with watercolors, because acrylics make me really angry. And I also do some drawing on the side.
Yes. Thank you. And we'll get back into all the things that you do in just a moment. But lastly, we have she who shall not be named, i.e. Voldemort, with us. Our youngest, the youngest of the group that's here, is one of my nieces. And we're going to call her Voldemort for this time. And so can you say hello and tell us what craft you prefer to do?
Howdy. Well, I guess I kind of prefer needle felting. I like needle felting. Mm-hmm. And as I am doing right now, I like cross stitch.
Mm. When did you learn to cross stitch?
5 days ago.
And she's doing a really intricate piece that we're going to try to reference without being too specific, because it's for her mother for her birthday tomorrow, so.
Good job.
You can speak up, Grandma.
I said it's an excellent job.
It's very beautiful.
But the girls were also saying that you're a puzzler.
Yes, I love doing puzzles.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because you're the math whiz in the family.
She makes people look so bad.
So today we thought I would gather together my family members here, just a few of my family members, and we would talk about the gifts that have been given to them that were handmade, handcrafted, and how it felt to either create that gift and give it to the person, and how it felt to be on the receiving end of all of these gifts. So in front of us right now, we've got a table full of hand-knit objects, and we were going through them before we started going down memory lane, and quite a few of these I knit for my mother many, many years ago, over a decade ago in one case, and she still uses it today. So first, what I'd like to do is let's focus on Mom, Grandma, Gloria, whatever you want to call her. And so, Mother, what would you say is the... And it doesn't have to be mine, okay? What is your most favorite handcrafted item that you've received to date?
This is a loaded question.
It really is. I feel bad that I'm asking.
Yeah, I don't think I can choose an absolute favorite because I've had so many favorites. But one of my I don't know, I was rather astonished at receiving this painting by Eden that was for Christmas. And I just thought it was so beautiful that I just thought, oh my gosh, that is so great. And I loved it. And then I love this scarf that you made me. Now, I can't remember the name. Thistle
Pattern? Yes, this is Thistle by Tin Can Knits. And it's knit in Miss Babs fingering weight. I don't remember the colorway, but it's kind of like a, would you say it's a cobalt blue?
Yeah, something like that. It's a beautiful blue. And I love the color. And I love the pattern. It's so sort of lacy and just so pretty. And so I love to wear it in the winter with my coat. And then I've gotten some a lovely, I kind of like red,
just a little,
you know,
bit.
Yeah, just kind of, yeah, whatever you call it, highlights of red. But and so this lovely red shawl that you made me is really
I made wonderful. That this is the Red Robin shawl by Helen Stewart, and I made that for you for Christmas back in 2015.
Yes, it's a great Christmas present because I love red at Christmas time in particular. Mm-hmm. But it's and it's very pretty and it's lovely to wear with a coat or, you know, just kind of a little. It's a little shawl. I like smaller things because I'm a small person. But
yeah, and I will say though that I put tassels on this and they're quite beefy tassels. And I don't view you as really a tassel kind of lady. How do you feel about them?
I don't know. I'm kind of mixed about them because I think they're kind of a nice finishing touch there, but sometimes I just don't know. I mean, if I wear it with my coat, it's fine.
Yeah.
But if I'm wearing it with a shirt, I don't know if it works as well. But,
mm-hmm.
But anyway.
Now, both of these that you just mentioned, so the Red Robin shawl by Helen Stewart and then the Thistle scarf by Tin Can Knits, both of them... I chose the pattern without consulting you and made them for you. And so my question to you, I greatly enjoyed knitting these. I think the Red Robin shawl is at a cascade fingering weight. It has the feel of that, but I can't remember for sure. And it's a square shawl with just a little kind of architecturally symmetrical lace at the bottom edge. And while the thistle...
Square?
Huh?
What do you mean by square? I don't get the square part.
So you see how it's kind of lining up? It's kind of like...
Oh, the lace is kind of squares here.
Yeah, that's the lace right there. And well, as in contrast, the thistle shawl is... Well, as the name implies, it's a thistle lace motif. You could still kind of say it's architectural in design, but it's more organic, I would also say.
There's two patterns on it, and, you know, they're both just beautiful. Yeah. But one, it's sort of, what, it does it change in the middle or something?
Three quarters of the way it turns into the more intricate lace. Yeah, I would say, I think. Yeah, three quarters. So, which style would you say, so we have the triangular shawl and we have the scarf. It's not, I wouldn't say it's a narrow scarf, but it's probably, actually now that I'm stretching it out, what, 12 inches wide? If it was actually re-blocked, we should probably do that.
Well, I kind of like it 10 inches. Narrow because yeah. I just, like I said, you know, anything kind of bulky, it just doesn't go with me. But, so, I mean, this is my favorite pattern because it's just beautiful, but. I mean, I liked them both, and I thought that they, you know...
They serve, you know, very different purposes.
If I were to pick something out, I think that you did a good job of picking out something that I like, so...
Mm. Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
And then, of course, your beautiful socks. I mean, I'm such a practical person that I love practical things, and things that I can just use, you know, basically... very frequently, and so I like the socks, and my favorite are the brightest ones, which is kind of a surprise to me.
Yeah, I didn't think you would like them at all.
I'm not a neon kind of person, but they are just so happy looking, and I just love them, and so they're kind of my favorites now, but, and then I just love the blues, and the,
you really love blue,
and the Easter colored ones here, and just, you know, they're all beautiful in their own way, but...
How many socks do we have here? Because I know this isn't all of them. Do you...
Well, one of my favorite pairs is actually in the laundry.
Okay.
But so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
8 pairs over the last 10 years. So it's kind of almost as if I've given you one hand-knit object over the last 10 years. It's making me think. Well, I mean, but at the same time, we do have one lonely slipper, which you have said does not fit you well.
Well, it doesn't stay on well. It kind of slips off easily. So
I can't remember what the pattern is.
I don't use it as well as much as I probably should. But and then
I could
there's
see
that cute little doll too. The
yes.
Doll.
So I made the Chelsea. No, wait, no, no. What is this called? The Chelsea, the Chatterbox Monster. By Jenna Kapoor, was that her name?
Yeah.
I think so. Back in 2012, and I made that out of, oh my goodness, I forgot their names. That silk wool company out of Japan that is very popular, always has been popular. I can't remember the name. Oh, that's too bad.
Well, it's just a cute little funky doll that I keep on my desk.
And it's just got a big smiley face and big eyes. And it's, you know, very lopsided. I did not connect to the legs very well. So it's always looking as if it's kind of leaning towards you in rapt attention as it's sitting there, you know? So those are some of the hand-knit items that I have given you and made for you over the years. So from my perspective, knitting things for my mother... Oh, wait, yeah, before I move on... As we pulled together all of these hand-knit objects, we noticed that 90% of the socks that I've knit my mom still have the ends either not woven in or not cut off.
I
know
don't know how to do it.
It's my fault, Mom. You shouldn't have to worry about it. So it's all good. We need to rectify that. But from my perspective, making these items for you is at once very stressful and at the same time, very inspiring and soothing to me because for instance, the ones that have turned out to be your favorite, these neon ones, so it's neon pink, orange, yellow?
Kind of chartreuse, yeah.
Yeah, and green. And I never would have picked these for you, but... So I can't remember if I was knitting them and that you saw them and maybe commented on them. So maybe halfway through knitting them, I decided to give them to you or something.
It could be because I don't remember really either.
Yeah. I do remember that I knit these for you when I was living in Portland. So I kind of doubt that you saw them as I was knitting them. But anyway, somehow or other, I decided that Mom just had to have these. And it's interesting because when I knit for other people, I'm always worried that A, they're going to like the pattern that I chose, B, they're going to like the yarn that I'm using, and C, that they will actually use them rather than just stuffing them in a drawer and saying, I'm saving it for a special day. I mean, that special day will be when you're in your grave, if that's the case, right?
Yeah.
So that always brings me a lot of anxiety on my end. But on your end, when you receive these gifts, whether it's from me or from your grandchildren, what goes on inside you when you receive them?
Well, it's my favorite kind of gift. It's meaningful, more meaningful. I've gotten a few painting gifts from Eden too. I have another one here that's beautiful birds that she painted her most recent. And you know, whenever I receive a gift, whether it's these little cute little things that the younger kids have made out of, what do you call these?
Perler beads
that I put on my refrigerator or whatever. I mean, I just think it's a very special gift to get, a handmade gift.
And I will say, like, whenever anybody walks in the house and sees the line of paintings that your grandkids have made for you, and you've made too.
She has, like, two originals that we've done.
Well, yeah, I paint with Eden sometimes, and she helps me so that mine turn out a little better than they would have otherwise.
But everyone is utterly amazed. I mean, it even happened this last weekend when you met my soon-to-be in-laws. One of them couldn't stop talking about how beautiful they were. And I do believe they mentioned the tree one in particular. Yeah. So speaking of that, Eden, why don't you walk us through your favorite thing that you painted for Grandma? Why? And when did you give it to her?
It's probably the tree painting. I think the tree painting is everyone's favorite.
Well, let's bring it out.
Well, it's got such beautiful colors. I know.
It just pops out at you. It's so three-dimensional.
Yeah, it was my first time ever actually painting a pine tree.
Mm.
So I'm actually incredibly impressed at myself, and I still am, that it turned out so well. I just think I picked the colors really well. And I think this was before I got the Prussian blue paint, so I'm actually pretty sure I mixed that myself. And I'm very proud of myself for just, especially this is like the first time I did like almost like the galactic star look and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And
which you're very good at now. Yeah.
Yes. It was the first time for me. And so if I were to describe this painting, it would be like a Arctic winter snowy hillscape with some pine trees and lots of pretty stars in all different shades of blue.
Yeah. And I think what really grabs the viewer is the textures that you put on the biggest pine tree that's closest to the viewer, as well as like the snow that's coming off of the tree trunk. That's just so unusual in my head. And I love the colors. I would say that the colors are very accurate, honestly, while at the same time being fantastical, because in the forefront, the snow is actually, would you call that kind of a bluish purple?
Yeah, it's like a
ice, almost.
Yeah, it's like an icy color.
Yeah. It's just absolutely gorgeous. So, thank you for telling us about, oh, well, actually, I want to ask you one other thing. So, question, first off, did you knit this with Grandma in mind when you started it?
Or did I paint this?
Yeah. Oh, paint this, yeah.
Yes, yes. This was an original I did for Grandma, because I know she liked, I wanted it to match her room if she put it up there, and she has like the pretty blue wall. And this is actually one of the few paintings I did without any reference picture whatsoever. So this is all completely made up. There is no basis for it on any other picture. So I did it completely based off like the colors Grandma likes and what I thought like Grandpa would like, which is hence the different shades of blue because he's colorblind.
Yeah.
So I tried to do something they could both enjoy.
So you were extremely thoughtful while at the same time very imaginative. I think that's also unusual. I mean, I think about the landscape artists that I've heard of. I don't know any other than you. And for the most part, it seems to me like they go and find the landscape they want to paint, and then they set up right there, and they paint as they can view it. Am I right, or...?
I feel like there's definitely people who do that. There's a lot of people nowadays who, instead of outside, do outdoor painting, rather take a very good photograph of the landscape, so it doesn't change over time for them, so that they can get the colors they want right, which I think I've done that before, but...
But in both those instances, they're not doing it from their imagination like you did.
No.
Is what I'm hearing.
Rarely do it purely from imagination myself. I like to use reference pictures, but this was one that I spent a lot of time putting, like, imagination into.
It's everybody's favorite. It's absolutely beautiful. So, I think the takeaway is, use your imagination more, huh?
Yep.
For your paintings. But what's the second one that you have here?
Oh, the birdies?
Yeah. I love this one. It's strange because it's got very icy colors, but also very small pops of very warm colors, too.
Yeah.
So what's this one?
This one was another Christmas painting, or birthday painting. This was a birthday painting for you, wasn't it? Yeah, so...
Does it really matter since her birthday is 3 days after Christmas?
Yeah, it doesn't really, no, not really. But, Grandma tends to like the reds and the wintry colors, and her birthday's in winter, so I went with birds, which she loves. She puts all the bird ornaments on the Christmas tree.
That's true.
So I picked the birds, which I know she liked, and the icier winter colors, and the nice pops of red with the berries.
Yeah.
Because I think those are all things she enjoys.
This is one that fascinates me. I love looking at... to me, the birds are a cardinal and a robin.
Mm-hmm.
So am I right?
Yes.
Okay. And the cardinal in particular... just, I don't know, it grabs me every time. What about you, Mom/Grandma/Gloria?
Well, the cardinal is the most eye-catching. But, they're both, very pretty and well done.
Yes, it's very beautiful. And like I said, it's got very cool tones in the background. It almost as if it looks as if they're in a winter storm because the way you've blended the colors... It's so, what'd you call it, fuzzy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was meant to look like it's almost a photograph that, like, in the background, it's focused very much on the birds and the berries in the foreground, and the background's blurred with, like, just general winter tones that you would see.
So how long have you been painting?
I started painting with acrylics when I was 13, I think.
So about 5 years now. Almost six.
I'm 19, so no, 6 years. Okay. 6 years, almost seven, actually.
Yeah. And all that time, you've never actually officially taken classes outside of maybe a little...
I've taken two acrylic classes now at for school.
For school, but that was still home learning more than anything, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a lot of home learning. It was more so she would teach us, like... techniques for clouds one day, but she would very much have us like practice on our own. So I was still learning myself, just her with her supplementing, because she's an incredible artist. And so she would suggest like, oh, you could do this different, or you should shade this more, and then I think that would improve your work.
Oh, interesting. But no actual sitting there and saying, oh, you're doing this technique wrong, hold the brush this way.
No, no.
No, none of that. Which is how I think of traditional art training classes, whatever you want to call it. Yeah.
I liked her as a teacher because she was very much make your own style.
Yeah.
Rather than copy other people.
And this tends to be the kinds of things that you give to us for presents. And I will say, if you guys watch the Between Knits and Pearls YouTube channel, you'll see a few of Eden's smaller paintings on my back wall, and they're some of my most precious objects. I think one of them Grandma made with you, but of the three that I have. And
I can only remember two that I've given you, and that was the pink Japanese bridge.
Yep.
And then the fall trees with like the pine trees intermingled over like the lake.
Yes.
What was the third one?
I guess I was thinking of the bridge. But there's a tree one that I think you did with Grandma.
I can't remember right now.
There's a forest of trees, yeah. So I have those just put up on my back wall in my living room. And so you'll see them peeking through the edges of my screen a lot of times on many of my episodes. So they always greet me when I come home, and they make me feel closer to all of you, especially that helped during the pandemic when we couldn't see each other even though we lived in the same city and grandma was out of town traveling, and just it made me just feel like you guys were here, right? And that's my, I think that's my goal when I do hand knits as gifts, is that connection to each other. Do you, I mean, I'm going to ask you to get sappy here, Mom. Do you feel closer to me when you're wearing your hand knits? Or at this point, is it so
I do,
normal?
But the thing is that, you know, whenever I use a gift, and it actually is, it extends to gifts that aren't handmade, I usually think of that person. And so that is that is the great part about, and it is even more so if it's handmade, but...
Yeah,
it's a great way to connect because, you know, you just have sweet thoughts of that person when you're using whatever it is that you got or seeing it.
And the thing for me is that when I'm given, like, say, money or a gift card, and I go out and I use that, somehow or other that connection is lost in that process.
Yeah.
And I don't have that connection with the item. Which is very sad, which is why I prefer not to get those items. Hint, hint, since my birthday is Saturday.
Yes, so well, good luck with that.
So, well, I think we're going to have a little segment now with Miriam, who is furiously working away on a lace collar, isn't it? No, lace edging?
Yes, it's a lace edging, and this will just be for probably the edging of a skirt or a petticoat.
Mm-hmm. It's almost like it's enlarged picot edging on a hand-knit scarf, you know, if everybody knows what it is. It's scalloped. That's the word.
It's scalloped, and this is actually from an 18th century manual about knitting called the Butternick Knitting Manual.
Mm.
And so I've taken the pattern and I've started knitting it, changed it in a few places because because it was, they didn't have an editor. I don't think they didn't bother with an editor.
No,
so some of the patterns say something in one place and then totally like something else in another place. And you're just like, well, this is interesting.
And that doesn't make sense.
Yeah. So this is one of my current projects. I have many.
Yes, but so let's talk about the fact, maybe we should even save that for another episode since today is all about knitting gifts. But in another episode, I'd love for you to come on and talk about your experience translating, let's just call it ancient patterns or historical patterns, right? For modern day use and consumption. Right.
Yes.
So let's do that. Why don't I'll invite you on another episode to talk about that. But so for now, this technically isn't a gift. This is, well, it's a gift
to
yourself.
It's a gift for myself. I like to do that a lot.
Yes.
I like to gift things to me.
Yes. And you know what? Let's save your socks that you're designing also for that other episode. So just so everybody knows, think of Blue Willow China and try encapsulating that design on a sock. A knee-high or thigh-high?
Just knee-high.
Knee-high sock pattern. It's incredible what she's done, but we will save that for the other episodes. For right now, what are some things that you've made, hand-knit, sewn for other people?
So Eden actually has one of my favorite ones that I've made for her, and it's a rice sock. And so for people who don't know what a rice sock is, it's normally just a sock that you fill with rice. And if you have a headache,
a heat pack.
It's a heat pack. And so I was getting really annoyed. They were just using old socks. My mom and my sister were just using old socks filled with rice. And it was just so ugly. And I don't like ugly things. And so I was really annoyed. And so I decided that for her birthday, I was going to make her a sloth heat pack. And so... because one of her nicknames is Sloth, and so it was perfect. So I used a really pretty blue fabric, and so and made her a sloth heat pack. And so it has a cute little sloth head. Now this took me literally forever to figure out how to make this head.
Because you didn't go by a pattern again.
Oh, no. I believe in making up my own patterns because I hate buying things. So if I can make it, I'm going to make it. And so it took me forever. It took me about several days to get of just kind of messing around with some fabric and some pattern pieces that I had made to get the right shape that I wanted. Mm-hmm. And so then I just took it after I found the shape that I wanted, and then I put it into, cut out the actual fabric pieces that I was going to use. And so the entire socks in shades, sloths in shades of blue, because that's Eden's favorite color. It just turned out really cute. And
it's really unexpected too, because the fabric is actually almost like the old wallpaper where it's in strips or columns.
Yeah, it's in stripes. Kind of flowers.
Yeah, flowers, and then a lacy border to separate the columns mm-hmm. of flowers.
The sloth face is so cute.
The face is just adorable. And the way you positioned it on there, so it just, when she puts it on her neck especially, it literally looks like the sloth
head. It looks like it's giving her a hug.
Yes.
And so she ended up naming it Belt. So if any of you guys have viewers or listeners, I mean, you're listeners, you're not viewers,
yep.
Have watched the
Croods.
Yeah, the Croods, DreamWorks Croods. The main character, one of the main character, Guy, mm-hmm. has a sloth. And he names it Belt because it holds up his pants. and so anyways, so this is, we named this the sloth Belt. So that's one of my favorite ones that I've made. And then,
wait, before you move on, let's mm-hmm. now hear from Eden on the receiving end. Did you have any inkling she was making this for you?
I did have an inkling because she kept telling me to go away and not look.
Because you guys share a room.
We share a room, and she crafts right next to the door. Mm. So every time I would try and go out of our room, she would go, "Ian, don't look." So I knew she was up to something for me.
Mm.
But I didn't know exactly what, and I was very, very happy with this.
Did you have to explain, Miriam, what it was?
No, because...
She figured it out.
Maybe. She figured it out. I mean, I did tell her it was a heat pack, like a rice sock. Mm. But a really cute one.
Yeah. And so, was this made for a special occasion, or was it given?
My birthday.
It was for your birthday.
My 19th birthday.
Nice.
So that it's one of my favorite gifts that I've made her. One of my other favorite gifts that I've made her is a bunny bag, and I made one. Ended up making one for myself, and that's the one that I'm having holding right now, because I just fell in love with it. It was just so cute. So I think I made this for your birthday.
It was either birthday or Christmas
2 years ago.
For 2020?
Yeah.
Something.
So it's this bunny bag, and we watched a Chinese drama together called Mo Dao Zushi, or The Untamed in English. And in one of the scenes, they make a lantern, and it has this, one of the characters, the main character, draws a bunny, or paints a bunny onto the lantern. And so I thought, this is the perfect, I saw it and I was just like, I need to do something with this. And so Eden's birthday was rolling around, and I was just like, let's make her a pencil bag, and we're gonna put a bunny on it. And so I went back, found the scene. I had to go through several episodes because I couldn't remember which one it was in. Then I kind of used it as a reference, and then kind of did my own take on it, and so ended up making this cute little bunny. It's stitched entirely in the stem stitch and a little bit of the satin stitch.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cute little bunny. He's embroidered in black with a cute little kind of rusty brown eye. And he's sitting on a little rock, and he's got some
grass
growing by him. and then just the inside of the bag is lined with this kind of red kind of sateen.
Yeah.
It's more of a fashion fabric, but it matched the bunny's little eye, and it looks really cool because the outside of the bag is pure white, and so if you go in the inside, mm-hmm. it's red.
Everything Miriam does looks professional. It looks absolutely professional.
Mm-hmm.
Which brings me to another one of my favorite gifts that I had just I knew I was missing something. A pillow she made me.
Oh, yes.
She took a portrait, a sort of a drawn portrait that of my husband and I, your father, and and you know that was made in Disneyland years ago, and sort of made a pattern of this drawing, and stitched it onto a pillow, which was just amazing, and it turned out so well. It's just another one of my favorite things. But
a portrait since we were thread.
Talking about all this knitting and stuff.
That's right. I forgot about it. Do you know where that pillow is?
Oh, it's right there.
Oh. Yeah. Voldemort, fetch it.
So, Miriam, so just thinking back to this pillow, how many hours do you feel like you spent on making this?
So this was actually, it was the first time.
Yes, it's so beautiful.
I think it was my second time actually making a pillow.
Mm-hmm.
And so it didn't take all that long, actually. I mean, it did take, maybe say 8-10 hours. Because I traced the outline of the portrait, and then we went to a copy shop and minimized it so I could get it to be smaller, because the portrait itself is quite large, and I wanted it to be much smaller. So then I just traced the outline and
chain stitch?
I used the chain stitch, straight stitch, and stem stitch to embroider it. So really simple stitches.
Mm-hmm. But with great effect.
Yes, and so I just used different shades of blue for the hair and the kind of colors, and then the outlines of the faces, and then just did a border of
patchwork border,
and so I think all of these are different fabrics. I think the only repeating fabrics are these cute Claws. Little patterns. Patterned ones at the corners.
Which are toile, I believe.
Yes, they're toile. Yeah. Cute little toiles. And so, it's one of my favorite ones that I've made, and it makes me happy whenever I look at it. So,
Me too.
And that photo that she took from Disneyland, was that the 70s or 80s?
It was in the early 70s.
Yeah.
And it was...
I didn't think Dad had a beard in the
70s. I guess mid-70s. No, he did.
He had a beard in the 70s?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, and so he, yeah, it was in the Disneyland, and I guess it was probably 76, I don't know.
Was Epcot, maybe?
Or was no, Epcot it was Disneyland around? In okay. California.
But isn't Epcot part of Disneyland?
No, that's in Florida.
Oh, that's right, okay.
There's just a street artist drawing things.
But on here, I mean, she even has her grandfather's glasses. But weren't you wearing glasses at that time? Or were you too vain and stumbling around?
Probably contacts, my dear.
Sure, we'll go with that. We'll go with that. But this is just another example. So that sits in Pride of Place in the living room. And then also in the living room is another patchwork pillow by Amy, isn't
yes,
there?
Yes,
and that's their
pillow.
Mother. And, oh, man, I wish we could go into that. But I have a patchwork pillow that my sister Amy made for me, and that sits in Pride of Place
in
my
quilt in there by
and
me.
A quilt. So our homes are bursting when you really think about it. I mean, I walk through my home every day and I don't necessarily think of all the things that are handmade that have been gifted to me that have enriched my home. But now that we're sitting down talking about it, it's really bursting at the seams. Almost every single room contains a handcrafted item, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So how does that create the feeling of home for you guys?
Well, definitely makes it more homey.
It does make it more homey, and it's just very comforting. Hand crafted items just have a very comforting feeling to them. Like, you look at them and you're just like, and you're reminded of the person who made them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also a cozy feeling, a very home feeling around handcrafted items.
Yeah.
Very authentic feeling.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel fake or like, whenever you see it, you think, oh, somebody actually loved me enough to take time to make me this object.
Yes.
So it's very, warms your heart.
Yeah.
I mean, if you think about the amount of time that it takes to make a handmade item, I don't normally think about that because I just enjoy making them so much. But when I actually pay attention to how much time it takes, I mean, even just to make a pair of socks, which is a relatively quick knit. I mean, you can knit a sock in a day if that's all you're doing.
Yeah. But I would still say a sock, 8 hours?
8, 10 hours each.
So we're talking about 20 hours for a pair of socks.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't normally think about that, but if you think about that, the amount of time that they put into making something that day.
That's a lot of love.
Yeah, it's a lot of love knit into those socks.
Well, and I will tell you, I mean, even though I knit your thistle scarf 6 years ago now, maybe seven, I do remember, it feeling never ending. And that it did take me, I'm going to guess, but I wouldn't be surprised if this took me closer to 100 hours to do.
Wow.
Maybe that's an exaggeration, but I really don't feel like... Maybe,
it's probably not.
Yeah. Because the lace is so intricate, but at the same time, it does repeat, so you can memorize the pattern. But I never felt like... Because I remember back to when I was knitting it, that I never felt like I could actually knit this on the go. Like, I always had to be in a secure location so that I could have my pattern handy in case anything happened. So there is always that too. And so when you're crafting, one of the yarn threads is a little loose, so I can fix the tension on that myself in just a little bit. But it's something to think about when you're crafting. All of the crafts that we've spoken of today, they're things that are very intentional, things that you have to be aware of. Sometimes you could be doing things like listening to an audiobook or watching TV, but for most of these items that we're talking about, though, it's without distraction. So there's all that energy that you're putting into it, like loving energy that you're putting into it, time and attention. So it's just something to think about. So I think we should end our little segment that has turned into quite a long one, but I'm really glad that you guys had this conversation with me. Let's talk to Voldemort, or she who shall not be named. She is currently working on a... Whoa, I'm going to lose the mic. Okay, here we go.
That's an interesting project.
Yeah. She's currently working on a project, a secret project for her mother, which has actually caused it to take a little bit of time because... You know, making something for somebody that you live with and it's supposed to be secret.
You have to dodge around.
Right? And then your possible times to be able to work on that is cut way back. Whereas when I'm knitting something for Grandma, she doesn't live with me. So anybody in my household could be around me, Watson or Mr. Radio. And it doesn't matter. But
Watson
when I knit...
Hills.
Yes, Watson does tell tales. But anyway, so why don't we end today with you describing to us what you're making for your mother for tomorrow, if it gets done on time. It's very ambitious.
We're hoping it will. Well, I'm making a cute little vintage-looking teapot, cross-stitch, for my mom, because she has very extensive kind of...
China collection,
yeah. So... I just thought it would be a really cute thing to make her.
And they like to have tea parties.
We do like to have tea parties.
Yes, we like to have tea parties.
And technically, it's not even that you have a finished object in mind. It's that you saw this image, you knew she would like it, so you're cross-stitching it for her. And what it organically will end up being is what it will be. I mean, maybe you'll frame it. Maybe you'll stitch it onto a pillow like you guys seem to like to do, right?
I think we were going to end up actually putting it as a, making it into a card, like a fabric card.
Oh, interesting.
So I think that's what we had ended up deciding that we were going to do with it. So,
which is another thing we have all around the house. For every birthday, and I would dare to say even Christmas, you guys, it's not that you guys make us handmade cards. We're not talking about the variety of simply taking a piece of copy paper and writing I love you and handing it to us. You guys paint, draw, do really cute things. I mean, I think there was one card that was stitched that I got. I don't know who it was from, but every... calligraphy, all of that on every single card. So it's all very thoughtful. And I guess that's the theme of crafting for others, is to do it very thoughtfully with intention. And it's received, I would say, at least in our family, in that spirit of thoughtfulness and attention and love. And it really makes everything brighter.
Right? Yes, it really does.
Does anybody have any last moment thoughts that you want to share? Okay. Well, thank you guys for joining me today. I am really excited to hear how our listeners receive this. You guys are amazing. I really do love you. Oh, wait, Mom, I did have a question for you. Is there a craft that you currently do?
I dabble.
You've been knitting on the same scarf for my little brother Zach for what, 6 years?
Possibly. Yeah. And I always forget how to knit when you're not around. So there it sits. But then I paint with Eden, and also Mary. We've been doing a little stuff like that together, and that's always fun when you do it with somebody else. And so.
But you also draw. We have some of your drawings. There is a ship you drew, what, 70s? Would you say?
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah. That is on our walls ever since then. There's, I don't know if any of you know what a cache is, but Mom, how would you describe a cache?
A little log cabin on stilts.
Yeah, where back in the old days when we didn't have refrigeration, we didn't have ways to store our food and keep them safe from the wild animals here in Alaska, then we would use caches to store all of that food. And that cache symbol, or that miniature cabin on stilts, has kind of become almost an emblem for Alaskans. And Mom drew one of those back in the 70s. And we used it on our letterhead for the... was it for the shop, or was it only personal? Letterhead.
Not the shop.
Not the shop, it was just personal. And then there's a drawing of my oldest brother Ian as a baby that we have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And... oh, go ahead.
Oh, I just, you know, was dabbling in colored pencil drawings and made a couple of gifts of portraits of those two people, but like Miriam and Eden I drew and stuff. Then I moved on.
You shouldn't, because you have a tendency to, I don't know if the word is belittle, but... kind of shrug off your talent.
She does.
Yeah.
And she's totally... the person who paints with her, she does.
Yeah.
She's totally so good at it. I mean, her colored portrait that she made of me and my sister when we were, I think, this was in Georgia, so
we were like 7 and 8.
7 and 8. So I was 17, Eden was 8, and she's holding her pet, her puppy, Shep, and so it's my favorite, mm-hmm. It's my favorite gift I've ever gotten from Grandma, and it's hanging on my wall in mm-hmm. pride of place in our bedroom. So
see, there you go.
I see it,
Mom.
Every day.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of my favorite gifts I've ever gotten.
Honestly, we could go on and on about all of these things, but we would probably have a 5-hour podcast, and just your guys' segment alone is now at 45 minutes. So I guess maybe we should stop. But it's hard to stop because there's so much to talk about. But thank you all for joining me today. And those who are listening, stay tuned for A Time for Hygge. Thank you. A Time for Hygge. So, as we've already been talking about in the personal skill set, giving is on my mind. And I'm all about comfort. And I want everyone around me to feel comfortable as well. And I can do that through the act of giving. And through the act of giving, through a thoughtful Hygge lens, if you will. So, for instance, for Mr. Radio's birthday, we indulged in a sweet carrot cake, one of our favorites. But as we try to eat healthy and avoid sweets, it's not always successful, but you know. That was a sweet indulgence and a great Hugo moment and gift to Mr. Radio. We totally indulged in large slices of the cake, and we accompanied it by a double dark chocolate ice cream. It was so good. And then we took the remaining cake over to my mother's for a family get-together last weekend, and my nieces and nephews, or I guess I should say our nieces and nephews, savored every bite of that cake. It was amazing. Now, you might be wondering, Emily, how is a birthday cake to Mr. Radio on his birthday an actual, you know, Hugo moment slash Hugo gift? Well, like I said, we don't indulge in sweet treats very often, and so for us, it was a moment of Hugo lifestyle, you know? And Hugo is all about indulging but with balance, and for us, that's what that looked like. So, for instance, on my birthday, I haven't asked for a cake. I don't really like cake for the most part outside of carrot cake. So, probably our indulgence will be s'mores over the campfire. I can't wait for that. Oh my goodness, I can't wait. But what I'm trying to get at is that gift giving is all about the thought behind it. One thing that I steer clear of is giving gift cards, as I feel for myself that it is a less thoughtful gift. However, if that is truly what the receiver wants, then that can be the most thoughtful gift that you give them. For me, I love to give things that bring people closer together. So for instance, my sister's birthday is this week, and I didn't know if I was going to see her, so last weekend when we had the get together at my mom's house, I gave her her gift early, and I had searched high and low for what I wanted. I wanted a set of 3 necklaces that represented our love for each other, between us 3 sisters, so that we could wear them every day, wherever we are in the world, and still feel connected. Now, at first, when I kind of was giving her the gift and I explained, it's for you, but it's also for all of us. And so she's like, okay. But then once she opened the gift, we, you know, there weren't squeals or anything like that, but it was more of the, oh, this is so beautiful and lovely. And all 3 of us, we put on our necklaces immediately. And I, for one, haven't taken it off since that moment. So with this thought in mind, I thought I would give you a list of ideas around Hugo lifestyle or lens of gifts that you might give to somebody. And this is not an exhaustive list. This is just something I came up with of 10 items that, you know, just kind of came into my head. So the first one on my list is slippers, so they can cuddle up on a cold night. The second is, still on the subject of cuddling, a large fluffy blanket. The third, I think at this point actually, I collect blankets at this point. I've got a large selection. I'm always enthralled with them when I see them at the store, and the tactile experience of certain blankets is, well, of all blankets, is very important to me, but I tend to steer clear of those types of blankets that make you feel suffocated and they don't breathe. So thinking about all of that as well when you're giving a gift of a blanket as well. Does that make sense? I hope it does. Anyway, my third item or idea is a candle to light the night and fill the air with soothing fragrance. Fourth, bath salts to indulge in their next bath while also relieving the swelling of aching joints. And boy howdy, the older I get, the more I need that kind of bath time. Number 5 is tea and coffee of a decadent variety they might not buy for themselves. Number 6, a journal to write their innermost thoughts in, perhaps accompanied by a special pen given by you. Number 7, a hand-turned mug to sip that decadent coffee or tea in. 8, a special treat from your local bakery. Now, again, that might not seem like a special gift, but when somebody doesn't indulge in those things very often, that can be very thoughtful and loving. Number 9, a picture of you with them or a beautiful poster or artwork to cozy up their home with. And lastly, number 10, a plant to clean the air in their home or make it brighter and more earthy. All of these gifts can be handmade by you. You could plant a plant, grow it, and give it to them when the time is right.
you can learn how to make pottery, or you can support your local potter. And so all of these things can be given by you, or, I mean, made by you, given by you, and or purchased thoughtfully from your community. The main takeaway is that the gift is thoughtful and from your heart. Contemplation Corner. There are so many beautiful quotes about giving that honestly I just couldn't choose one, so here are a few of my favorites. No one has ever become poor by giving. Anne Frank. Only by giving are you able to receive more than you already have. Jim Rohn. Giving is the only way to receive more. Layla Gifty Akita. And lastly, I have found that among its other benefits, giving liberates the soul of the giver. Unknown. Well, thank you, my friends, for joining me for another episode of Little Cabin Knits. This is episode 45. I am amazed that I've made it to 45 already. It's been absolutely an amazing ride. So, remember, my friends, to knit what you love and love what you knit. Ta-ta for now.